How does our subconscious mind or the memory banks of our mind work? How do we reprogram our subconscious when we are not living the life that we want? We are going to explore the subconscious and the conscious mind today. If a person is not experiencing the life that they want, be it in love, health, or wealth, it's because the subconscious or the memory banks of their mind must be cleared of past experiences and reprogrammed with new thoughts more aligned with the new desire. That certainly makes sense. My experience has brought me to this question. How do my thoughts and actions serve me? What should be my course of action when past experiences are impacting me in a negative way? So, you know, there's a saying in Proverbs 23:7, you are what you believe yourself to be. And it's expressed this way, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So do we really, really understand the power of our thoughts and how these thoughts become cumulative, having an impact on us, whether in a positive or a negative way? Because certainly they can have a positive effect, and that's the hopes. So hello and welcome into Affirmations for Living. Of course, I am your host, Reverend Edvige, and it is truly exciting for me today. My guest is Karen Blaine. She is the author of a fabulous book called Subconsciously Speaking, Your Path to Personal Power. And what I found really unique and fabulous about this book is the simplicity of it, how she explains in terms that we all get how to bring both the subconscious and your conscious mind together so that they work in harmony. And isn't that what this is all about, working in harmony? And so that's what we're going to be discussing today. And you know, because exactly where we are, we, you know, sometimes have limitations and we don't know exactly how to get back on that path. And you often hear me talking about that. So we're going to bring her in actually pretty soon so that we can go over, because there's so many things that I want to go over with her. So the call-in number, and I hope that you call in with all of your questions. If you're having issues, please feel free to call us, is 323-203-0815. Again, the call-in number today is 323-203-0815. And I also want to remind you that you can reach me at affirmationsforliving.net. Of course, you can follow me on Facebook. I now have a phone app. Right now, it's live with Android. And so if you're interested in following me and see what's going on, you can do so. The name of the app is called Awakened, A-W-A-K-E-N-E-D, so that you can follow me. If you're local, you can come out to events and so forth. So let's go ahead and bring Karen in. I'm excited, and I know you're going to really get a lot of information from her today.
Hello.
Hello, Karen.
Yes.
Hello, this is Edvige. Thank you
for
coming on today. I am doing well, thank you. I have to say I really enjoyed reading your book, Subconsciously Speaking. Yes, indeed, it is your path to personal power, isn't it?
Yes.
So for our audience, tell them a little bit about who you are and how you came to write this.
Okay. Well, my name is Karen Blaine, and I'm a professional certified hypnotherapist.
Okay.
I learned about conversational hypnotherapy, which is a little different than conventional hypnotherapy, mm-hmm. where it allows the conscious mind to integrate more fully with the subconscious. And in a way, you don't have to go. What I teach in the book that I wrote is how to access your subconscious all the time, anytime, and so it's an easier transition to go between the conscious and the subconscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I wrote the book was because my father was dying of cancer, and I was at a loss. It was a long, drawn-out battle, and I had a lot of grief,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't utilizing it very well, so I started to go inward, and the more I went into my subconscious to deal with the grief,
okay.
the more I came up with the book, and I started to get more and more out of it. And anyway, that was the beginnings of it. So.
Mm-hmm. And so from that point, you decided to go and get certified in hypnotherapy?
Oh, I had been.
Oh,
this
okay.
Is when, yes, I had been already certified in hypnotherapy, but this is when I started to realize that everybody can use the power of the subconscious mind on a daily level.
Mm-hmm.
My book is a bedside book. it's the kind of thing where you can go back to it and back to it and back to it. And it's not where you need an appointment with a hypnotherapist and you have to go into trance. That's what I learned from my dad, was that there are so many times when we just need daily enforcement and daily enrichment, and we need to find the ways to access our subconscious on a daily level.
Absolutely.
And that's what I show in the book. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have to agree with you. Absolutely. It is definitely that bedside book where you want to go to, because there are so many little, you know, tidbits that you want to take and practice. And it's like, okay, I have that. And it needs to become well programmed into us so that it becomes, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah, fabulous. Now, you know, the first thing that caught my attention in it is turning down the volume. I love that.
Yeah. So important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Too many of us just can't. We come into the house and we're not comfortable in our silences. Mm-hmm. We just have to have the TV on, and we have to have, we have to have our internet going, and we have to have our phones. And so we don't know who we are, because instead of listening to the inner voices of our subconscious that are there to help and guide us,
mm-hmm.
and help us choose and make the right choices and feel better about ourselves, we're being drowned out by the external feeds that all that volume does to us. So by sitting in silence, we have a chance to connect to a completely different voice, and that's that inner voice.
That inner voice. So now, you know, I meditate. I'm a metaphysical practitioner, and so
yeah.
I do spiritual life coaching and teach how to meditate and go within. But if you're not particularly into the metaphysics of it, how long would you suggest turning down the volume? How long do you want to get quiet? If you're not going to go into a meditation, but just sit quietly and perhaps contemplate, would that be 5 minutes, 10 minutes a day? What do you really suggest?
Well, I have four ways that I actually, so they're kind of like different ways if you're bored of one.
Okay.
Of accessing the subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go through them with you really.
Okay.
If that's okay.
Oh, yes.
The first way is turning down the silence, is having silence and just being able 5-10 minutes just to really relax yourself, so you're in that centered space, so that you can absorb then your embedded suggestions and whatever that's in the book, but whatever that you might need that day.
Mm-hmm.
But another way is what I call the twilight. And I speak of it in the book,
mm-hmm.
which is before going to sleep, there's that period of time right before you drift off and
yes.
As you're going, a beautiful time to access your subconscious and then let allow grief to take place, if that's what you need or whatever you need, that's a good time. And then waking up is another twilight place. When you're waking up and you first wake up, and a lot of people hear their alarm clock and don't want to do this. But if you have 10 minutes and you want to do it, that waking up to center yourself will silence will allow you to be better balanced for the day and probably less cranky. And then the other thing is the visualization, and I did talk about it in the book too, which is finding your very favorite place, like Edwidge, which what would you say is one of your favorite nature places in the world?
You know, the beach of Hawaii, and just sitting there calmly, and I can mentally go to that place and feel the ebb and the flow of the water and hear it. Yes, that's
I'm with you. I'm right with you. I'm there.
Yes, and you
have mutual.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's, so you put yourself in that place, wherever you are, and you know, you could be on a subway in New York, and you put yourself in that place for those few minutes, and that's when you can give yourself too more embedded suggestions, more subconscious help.
Absolutely. You know what? I think we have a caller, so let's see if they're still there. But absolutely, it so makes sense that,
sure.
you know, and the wonderful thing that you're saying, that when you go to sleep, before going to sleep, tell your brain to resolve the open issues.
Exactly.
That's really important, to resolve those issues, because that sleep state can do so many things. It can actually work through karma. It can work through all sorts of things. And so it's a really good habit to get into, that upon going to bed, you lay there for a few moments, a few minutes, and really just allow yourself to let go.
Certainly.
And, you know, and then as you say, in the morning, because how important is it to set a tone for yourself for the day? And that's really what you're suggesting, that we set a tone instead of getting that alarm clock and jumping and you're crazy
and cranky.
You know, just take a breath, relax, and say, okay, what does guidance actually showing me to do in this day? And, you know, so really, really important that we're able to do that. Now, you also suggest that we, and I know you talked about this a little bit earlier, getting the subconscious and the conscious mind to work together, how we have to accept what is meant to be so that positive attitude comes in. Yeah.
Right. With the conscious mind, which we really need, we need our conscious mind, but 90% of us live in our conscious mind.
Mm-hmm.
And 90% of our mind is subconscious.
Okay.
So 10% of our mind is conscious, and 90% of us are living there. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Not at all.
So if we could, we do need the conscious, because the conscious mind does process our information and works with our practicality and helps to push out the subconscious in a way, if I could say that. The subconscious is about feelings and emotions, and it helps us to conclude what we need to make proper choices. And then the conscious comes out and helps us to deliver them. So we do need both.
Absolutely.
But we overuse the conscious mind, in my opinion.
Mm. So, you know, and I know it's further along in your book, but we're in a perfect place for it now. So now we understand the programming, and that there's both positive and negative programming in our subconscious as we're seeded from childhood.
Right.
And some of that can sometimes be not the truth about us. So if we are to pull more of what's in our subconscious, how do we release those things that really are the false programming so that we can, you know, that more of the positive information comes through?
Oh, and this is what the whole book is about. It is about learning how to utilize that and make yourself, or make ourselves, more self-confident all the time. Mm-hmm. And the best way to do that is take any of those four tools of accessing our subconscious, which we already outlined, and at any time in the day, anytime, because actually the more often we go into the subconscious, this is when we do our power-embedded suggestions. So we want to say from our childhood negative tapes, you know, some, who knows what our parents did to us or whatever, whoever did it to us. Mm-hmm. We're not allowed to go into the negative. We are not. We are
Meaning
not.
There's no blame, and that's
no
what the audience
blame and
hear
no
that.
Negativity. We
exactly.
say, I am beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I am kind. I accept and love myself. Similar expressions to that.
Mm-hmm.
And in this state of being, we will begin to improve the self-confidence and feelings of powerfulness. If we can say that over and over again, deeply, in those places when we're listening, not when we have an eye on Dancing with the Stars, but when we're, if you follow, but if we're really paying attention, yeah, it's a process of doing it over and over again. And they're going to be, and in my book I do say, they're going to be thought traps. And the thought traps will come back, and they will be negative. And then we have to then, again and again, stop them and
Absolutely.
Say, I will not allow those negative thought traps to come into my brain. I am a great person. And then you just go on and on.
Yes.
You know, there's a one little part of it. In fact, if we learn anything from one of the main things from the book, it's a metaphor. I call it the Karen Show.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the Edward Show. But it's about, I call it, it's a script for our life. And we can make our life anything we want it to be. And at
Absolutely.
Any moment, each day, we can change it. You probably already know that. So you're the writer, creator, producer of your show, right?
Correct. Exactly.
And you're in control. And at all times, we all are in control of our lives. So we can adjust and make changes to the show at any time. And understanding how to access the subconscious will be the first step.
Mm-hmm.
But once we are there, we can rewrite that script. We can add to it, change it. We are the victim, and we are not the victims. We are the victors of this life.
Absolutely.
Of, and
yeah.
of our script.
Mm-hmm.
So if people could that it's about them. It's their show, this life.
It how are you writing it, and how are you allowing it to play out?
Exactly.
You call that self-esteem talk, where you, those, I am wonderful, I am beautiful, I am love. It's so important that we begin to have a positive conversation with ourselves.
Yes, and isn't it amazing still, in 2012, how many of us are afraid to love because we think that we're going to be hurt?
Yeah.
We have these, instead of when we love, knowing, yeah, we might be hurt, but we're connecting. And that connection to the world is our greatest strength. And we are so afraid, and our fears take so much
control. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's so important, because you know what? It's better to give than to receive. And so by loving, you open yourself up to the universe and allow so much more to flow into you. And you have to do it without conditions, right?
Exactly.
And so I have to love no matter what it shows up back to me. I have to be that space of love. But what's wonderful about that is, as you continue to be positive, sending out that love, it then is going to go out to that psychic field, and it's going to attach itself to everything that's a match to it. And before you know it, things that are of the same, that law of attraction begins to come back to you. And so you really have to begin to breathe it and to experience and to be it and to believe it. And then you will really start to change all those things. And you don't have to live in the fear that it's not going to be reciprocated. It may be reciprocated in a totally different way, but it's still, in a sense, love.
Right.
So
fabulous.
And as
this happens, I believe the world will start to feel more and more, because we're all on a conscious connection.
Yes.
And a subconscious connection, okay?
Absolutely.
And so the more we spin this off, the more others will feel what we feel.
Well, it's that 100 monkey theory. And so, you know, there is unity consciousness. And as we do the work on ourselves, and as we release and let go and become more positive, more joyful, more loving, that's going to go out to that unity field, and it's going to create critical mass, and more and more and more people will feel it. And so it's awesome to be able to do that. Now, the next thing in your book, which I loved, was your POA.
Ah, yes. Yes.
So what is that?
So many people have said to me, oh, well, I'm poor.
Mm.
Okay, I understand. Being poor is horrible. It's horrible if you have no food to eat. I understand. Or I have cancer and I'm dying. I understand. But just being, and this is the main reason I wrote the book, being with my dad, who knew he was dying, especially at the end, he used each day and made it a beautiful, beautiful day. He was grateful to be alive that day. He had me loving him, and other people in the family loving him. And he was just so glad to get love. And I did admit, I got him Baskin Robbins shake, so that was kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because he still could hold in that much food. But what I really meant by a plan of action, I'm not even taking it down to the health level, is at all times, that's the only way to stay positive.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a plan of action so your boss fires you. I mean, I'm not dismissing it. I'm saying, okay, you're fired, you're kicked out, everything bad is happening. You have
now what? Now
yes,
what?
Yeah. You have to form a plan of action. You have to write it down on a notepad or on the new iPads or whatever you have, and you have to say, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. If those three things don't work, I will try this, I will try this, I will try this. I mean, you can run. If you can walk, if you can't join a gym and you put your gym shoes on, you run outside, you'll feel better because your endorphins are going. So if you can just get out from wherever you are and just take a run, you will feel better. There's so many ways to create a plan of action, and you have to have one to live.
Well, you know what? And the thing is, it's on both sides of that coin. So you have a plan of action when things aren't going well so that you can get back on track. But even more importantly, when things are going well, okay, that's now what's my you know, the next step. I've accomplished this. You have a
exactly.
published book. Now what? Okay, now I want to do speaking engagements. Now what? Now I want to get on Oprah. Now what? And so there's always pre-paving. What's the next step? What's that plan of action? Because that's how we move our dreams, our goals, our desires forward.
Perfectly so, put. Yes. And in my book, I have things on the power of passion and on ambition. Mm-hmm. On how important, you know, ambition used to be, or for a while was a dirty word. And I have a story in there called Owning Our Ambition. And I think ambition's a beautiful thing if it's used right and not self-righteously rammed down someone's throat. I think ambition can help set a legacy and a tone and help the world.
Exactly. So. Yes. Amazing. And so now the next thing I want to cover is... And this is fabulous. I'm just going page by page through your book. I have all sorts of things highlighted in it.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it.
Yes. Okay. It's essential to surround ourselves with healthy, positive, encouraging, uplifting friends, family, and even strangers. No kidding. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Please tell our audience just how important it is that your circle be of like mind.
Because every time you're around toxic people or toxic situations, first off, your cells, you are a teacher in this, you know this. Mm-hmm. Our cells are being affected. They're actually dying off being around people that are bad for us. It is not helping our self-esteem, our power, our personal power, or our path by being around people who bring us down. When we are around people who bring us down, all we're doing is like soaking in the bad stuff. So I say cut them out of your life as hard as it seems to be. The stronger you are, the more you go into your subconscious. The more you tell yourself how wonderful you are and believe it, the less time you will allow the toxins, the negative, the unhealthy people with their attitudes to invade your soul. That's what I think.
Now, here's a question, because I actually had someone sent me a question several weeks ago, and those negative people were in her family. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's easy for us to say, well, cut them off, because that's the reality of it. However, when they're in your family and you love them, what's that mental language you're going to give yourself so that they're not impacting you because, well, you live in their home and they're negative, or they're around you and you can't really move out just yet, or what have you. So how do you deal with that situation?
Okay, two things. Boundaries.
Mm.
So important. You have boundaries in your heart. You have boundaries in your heart. So when you're in your subconscious, you say to yourself positively, mm-hmm. I love my so-and-so, but I will not let them invade my heart and make me feel bad about myself. The boundary stops there.
Yeah.
And you say that over and over again. You say it positive, because I don't think anything in the subconscious should ever be negative. I just don't, in everything I've read. So you frame it in a positive way, and you put boundaries down with those people. You don't stop dealing with them, because that would just hurt too bad.
Mm-hmm.
But you, and I hate to use the word wall, because that might be too tough for a lot of people. And walls are all different sizes, but you have boundaries, those safe boundaries where you can, and you learn. You learn how to deal with them, and all of a sudden they look at you. This has happened actually in my life. They look at you and they say, wow, you know, you seem kind of different. Well, I'm not distanced from you. I'm still talking to you, going out with you. But I don't have my heart and soul in your hands anymore.
Mm-hmm. So you come, and actually I like to say you become detached to the outcome. And
yeah.
So you're still in that space of love, because they're my family, they're my friend, whatever they are. But I am no longer detached by what you say to me is no longer going to impact me, because I'm detached from that. And I build my value upon my inner vocabulary with myself and my self-love. So,
perfect.
Yeah, very, very cool. So we can change any negative inner programming by understanding and changing the way we perceive our current situations. And that's so important. You know, if you turn 30 degrees, you're looking at it through another, right?
Yeah. Right, prism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. So explain that just a little bit.
Okay. If you – oh, this one was so important.
Mm-hmm.
If there is an event that occurred – I'll try to do a little a little movie.
Okay.
Okay, so we go to a party, and at the party, people are being nice, but one person walks over, and they're kind of negative, catty, negative, and so we're dwelling on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they were really negative to me. Oh, I can't believe it. I'm now upset.
What did I do? What did I do?
Yeah.
Why are they negative?
And I don't care about 10 nice people. This one negative person has just totally upset me.
And we'll take that energy home with us.
Oh, and it's all over the map, and my night is ruined, and why don't they like me? And then the analysis occurs. And so the point is the perception. If I stop it, if I replay, it's like re-role playing. If I go to the bathroom, if I have to, go to the bathroom, if it's in the middle of it, and do my centering, and saying to this is on an awareness level. Mm-hmm. I'm going to replay this so that I don't spend my night worrying about this one negative person. So then you say, my perception is this person has problems. I am a good person. I am a kind person. I am a loving person. Somebody who is like me wouldn't have somebody who is mean to them. So obviously they have issues I don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I will not let that affect the rest of my night. I will have a wonderful night. And then you walk out and you've redirected your perceptions about the same party, the same event, the same evening, and you actually have a good time the rest of the night.
Yes. Wow. That's so powerful, because we are so easily absorbed into other people's nonsense, and we allow that to impact us, and that's negative. We don't want to do that. So, yeah, I just absolutely love that. You know, another really important point, because we get this a lot, especially as we're moving into the awareness and we're moving out of the Piscean age to the Aquarian age, how we have to, the door is narrowing, as they say, and we have to let go of baggage. So many people I have found have placed that baggage in tidy little boxes, and they're like, well, it's in a box, it's put away, I don't have to think about it. But that doesn't really resolve anything. We can't, as you say, gloss over it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we bring that up to address?
Well, when we gloss over situations that have hurt us deeply, we're not removing them. We're just setting ourselves up for negative behaviors towards ourselves later on. And how many of us have all kinds of weird addictions and this and that, and that's those glossed over hardships and horrible feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So what I say is, you go into your subconscious at any of the points I'm talking about. And one thing, you can do hypnotherapy, but not everybody has the time and not everybody has the money.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they can get my book and kind of look at it every day.
Exactly.
But what they need to do when they're in one of those accessing of their subconscious is allow the grief. Just say, I'm grieving. I am grieving when I was, you know, whatever it was, whatever the situation was that they wanted to put away in this nice, tidy little package, that won't go away. They grieve it. And, you know, after they grieve it for a while, not right away, but after they grieve it for a while, more and more of the grief will start to eliminate, and there will be a light in your subconscious, and the light will get more and more bright.
Absolutely.
And eventually that light will start to drown out a lot of the grief. But by not bringing the grief up in the first place and just keeping it away, we're never going to get answers. We're never going to get over so many things we need to get over, because we're supposed to get smarter as we get older. And the way to do that is to sort of eliminate some of that bad baggage.
And that baggage, because as above, so below, as within, so without. And so that baggage is your cause. Now, how is it going to show up in the effect?
Right.
And, you know, that may show up in addictions. It may show up in all sorts of behavioral problems. And so it's really important that we accept responsibility, that we just go ahead and, you know, allow ourselves to grieve, to release, so that it will not show up in a cause or an effect that we don't like.
Exactly.
Because then you have, you know, so much more to contend with.
Yes, exactly. You're so right on.
Yeah,
so I say cry when you need to cry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a big one, and I do.
Yeah, but it helps. And you feel better afterwards, actually. You know, you can breathe a sigh of relief, and it's like, oh, okay, yeah, that feels better now.
It's important to realize you don't always, this isn't just all positive, oh, I am wonderful, positive all the time. No, we have grief in our life. We do. We have horrible times, but we have to connect to those times and let them out, and then the good times will begin again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I think.
Absolutely. It makes total sense to me. Now, the next thing is the belief that we know that we are truth, and this is so, so important, you know, because you've seen a lot of relationships even, especially in the olden days, how the wives would become subservient, not that that's a bad thing, anyone, but would lose themselves, mm-hmm. you know, and how do we stay in our truth? It's so important to stay in our truth and to not alter our behavior to satisfy someone else's beliefs. Because
very yeah. important, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, what we have to do is, this is when we can actually, this is something I did learn from my master hypnotherapist, and okay. it's a few little ways about that, and that is overcoming resistance to our ideas, and that's very important. We can do it by learning how to say what we want to say in the right way.
Mm.
So many times, and if we are talking about the husband-wife combination especially, the husband hears, nah, 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 and so he's not going to do anything you want. But if you come at him and you say the same thing, but you see it in a way that makes him sit up and listen, I need to show you how I feel when we just watch sports all day and I'm not being listened to and I've said a million times that I want to go see a play tonight mm-hmm. or something, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
we need to overcome their resistance. And if it's a stranger, we can, and we want to get their approval or we want to get a job close, even, we can, the Socrates method is they ask you a question, right? And
mm-hmm.
they might say, well, what are you bringing to the table? And then you might softly just answer them and go, well, what did you want me to bring to the table? And then they start talking, because most people like to talk. And as they talk, you start understanding where they're coming from. You're empathizing and
mm-hmm.
you're hearing them. And as they're talking, you never needed to say anything. You didn't have to answer them on the first question. You're understanding where they're coming from, and as long as you're not breaking anything you wouldn't want to do anyway, you're just hearing where they're coming from, then you reframe your next question, and then you answer them according to what you already have heard them say is how they feel about the subject. Do you follow?
Yes. So how would – okay, we'll do the marriage thing. I want to go to a play. So how, if my husband's sitting there watching, you know, football on Sundays, thank goodness mine doesn't, but tell me about it. How would I, in a loving, non-nagging way, say, honey, you know, I can appreciate you like football, but this play is in town and I just would love for us to get out and experience it together. What if he doesn't go for that?
Right. Well, the best thing you can do is you say, you come off in a non-judgmental way.
Okay.
Because guys think they're being judged all the time.
They
think they're not doing something right. So you take that onus away and you just say, this is something I would love to do. I don't mind you watching a game and you say it with honey, you know, you say, and if a guy's going to not listen to that, if you say, I would really love to go to this play,
mm-hmm.
and I would really love for you to get your game, I would really love us both to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy's not going to listen to that at all,
then he's probably not the right one.
Maybe not.
But I'll go ahead and say that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, it's the truth, because communication, and you both have to care about each other. But that's
exactly. And that's when, you know, marriages. I've been married 32 years, and
wonderful.
And it's a good marriage, and I think compromise. So that one arena right there is compromise, and we mm-hmm. you know, we have to do that. So.
Wow, fabulous. So your hidden treasures, those are fascinating because we need to pull those hidden treasures from our subconscious. They can really, truly improve our life.
Absolutely.
So how do we pull those hidden treasures out?
What we want to do, because sometimes along with the hidden treasures are those bad buried ones, but we don't want those, right? We want to remember when a teacher, like, do you remember a first grade teacher who told you how smart you were? And when gave you a little extra attention and said, you know, you're really a special young lady and you're so smart and a pleasure. Those are the hidden treasures that we keep in our subconscious, but we can let them come unlocked as we're doing positive embedded suggestions anyway. We can use the hidden treasures of our entire life, only the positive ones.
Yes.
And try to remember the good things. And the things that people have said, oh, your work that year, or 10 years ago, your work that year was amazing, amazing. People, you know, were inspired by it. And let us relive some of that because it helps us. We need, as human beings, we tend to get down on ourselves so often. So the hidden treasures are about remembering the people and the times when we felt extra special.
Wonderful. And you know what that brings to mind? When you're doing the visualizations or the affirmations, to then bring up those hidden treasures, because that's a feeling. And you want to bring back that positive feeling moving into those affirmations and visualizations.
Perfect.
Because you want to use the energy of that feeling so that, because we need all of that to manifest.
And that could be a whole visualization in itself.
Yes.
You can take yourself back to the kindergarten class.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole visualization where you do the embedded suggestions. So you're back in that kindergarten class, your first grade teacher's talking to you, you're that little girl all over again. And, you know, there's a lot of inner child work, which you probably know about, but I didn't go into it in the book. But you go back there and you say, I am so wonderful. I am such a good person. And you can spend your visualization back in that hidden treasured memory. So, yes.
And that would be so amazingly beneficial to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's something that we actually should do on a regular basis because
right.
we get so detached from that childlike innocence and we get so caught up in all of the outside world and that we really begin to lose ourselves. And that's a place where we could pull back and say, you know what, I am a loving child of God. I am loving. I do deserve to be prosperous. I do deserve to be loved because I am a good person. And so that language, that vocabulary that we use with ourselves is so important. And it would make sense to use it as a visualization so that we can hold on to that feeling and that can really, really move us forward. That's pretty cool. So now your happy hypnotic thoughts kind of go with that, I would say.
Well, I'm always one, like you just said, for keeping your inner child going. So, I mean, the positive part.
Mm-hmm.
So I say, don't say no all the time. The older we get, the more we say no. I don't want to go to that party anymore. People are just mean. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to. You know, it's like, so if you allow yourself to think, wow, you know, that, I am going to go, you know, swimming in the beach. I know it's going to be 60 degrees and I'll probably hate it afterward, but I'll try it. I'll do it. And the happy hypnotic thoughts were just more about taking a thought that you might not do in reality and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing it. Just getting out there doing it. And chances are those are the best bonding experiences you have, too, with your family and your friends. Sometimes you'll just go camping and you'll be like, okay, I'm not really prepared for this, but you have the best trip.
You know, so that's true, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just really about listening to some of those fun things and doing them.
And getting out of the rut of your everyday routine and changing, because that, you know, that change of scenery changes your perception.
Yes.
And it, well, that's like what you even said, going out for a walk, just something as simple as that. Instead of staying locked up in the house, taking that walk to the park, changing your scenery can sometimes shed new light on a situation. And,
right.
you know, so it's really important that we, I know for me, it's easy for me to stay in the house and not want to go, you know, to an event or something because I'm so comfortable and
right.
I, you know, I enjoy my environment. It's quiet, it's peaceful. And so, but we have to sometimes stop that and go and interact in a positive way.
And a lot of times we're just so happy we did. I say sometimes to suit up first. and then you'll probably show up afterward.
Yes, so, well, yes.
You put the dress on, and you're like, I don't want to go. But then you go, and half the time, how glad are we went? Because
absolutely.
So suit up, and then you'll show up. But if you don't suit up, if you stay in your robe, and you're like, no, then you miss out. So.
Mm-hmm. True. Wow. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. This has been wonderful. Do you have anything that you'd like to make sure that the audience knows as we continue?
I only want them to know that, there's little tidbits in the book if they put it, it's a bedside book with mm-hmm. little, like the smile. One, there's just a couple things, yes, maybe, but the smile within, which talks about how to, when you don't feel like smiling and you're having one of those bad days and you put mm-hmm. the smile on your face, it's hard to be angry and have a smile on your face. So you can fix it anyway. You can do it. And then by the end of the day, you will feel better than if you never smiled at all. And so this book is for people, it's for everybody, but also people who want extra help to feel more positive daily. Because they need to understand that all that power is within them. That's all.
And it's
easily attainable. It's not that difficult to attain.
It really isn't. So now here's another point that's really important. We need to tamper down our need to always be rewarded in some way. That need causes unrealistic expectations, and that goes back to the love. You know, afraid to love, afraid for being rejected. We have to really let go of unrealistic expectations because
that's the biggest. Isn't that one of the biggest problems we all face?
Yeah. I'll do this if I get this reward. I'll do this, but what's in it for me? Well, you want this? Well, what's in it? You know, people are forever wanting to place a condition on something.
Exactly. And the only thing we can do is just keep our expectations at a reasonable level, mm-hmm. which means if they're really, really low, well, we're just walking around going, we're never going to get anywhere. But if they're unrealistically high, we're always going to get in trouble. So what we have to do is have expectations that are realistic. Mm. Just realistic each day. High enough to challenge ourselves, but realistic enough not to be striving for the impossible. So,
absolutely.
And we can remember that. And like I said, the book will show you. You know, like I said, this is a bedside book. This isn't a read it once. It's a continual thing. You can get something from it. So.
Absolutely. It's a book that you want to highlight all the things that you want to focus on and day by day go into it and pick up something new because it's a practice. It's not like you want to read it once and, okay, I got it. No, you actually need to go page by page because each page has a new thought, a new idea, a new practice, really. And you want to be able to focus on that one particular, like, for example, living in the now is crucial for us to have an incredible life. So then you want to start to practice living in the now moment and what does that look like for you? And really practice that for a week until it's a habit and
right.
then go to the next thing and really understand that positive language with yourself and practice that until it becomes, you know, a habit. And that's
right.
how you're going to empower and really move yourself.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's absolutely fabulous.
Good. I'm so glad.
Yes.
So, yeah, if I wanted to leave the readers with anything, it would be to try, you know, to get this book because the number one thing the book will give them is more self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time they're in their subconscious saying, I am wonderful, a lot of the rest of it will start to take care of itself. I know that sounds so simple, but too many of us don't think we're wonderful when we are. So,
and that's important. That language, the language of thought, the language that we have with ourselves.
Yes.
And you use some words that were interesting. You know how we have particular words have. Power, have vibration.
Yes.
And so, yeah, let's go over, because as we have about 5 minutes or so, let's go over power words because,
okay, let
you
me
know,
go to that, actually,
yeah.
on the book. So I
okay.
can get them. What, do you know what page that is?
Oh, yeah, page 49.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so these power words are words where they redirect people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're saying to somebody, because their conscious mind takes them out. It draws them out and actually helps them go deeper into the rest of the meaning of your sentence. It's very interesting.
Yeah, so which means, so you're causing them to further explain so that you both, they will understand what they're actually trying to communicate and you will get what they're trying to communicate.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Very impactful. And so those words shift the other people's attention, and then everybody's got a bigger picture going on than just what the words are saying.
And not really, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. So they are because, as soon as, which means, and when. Boy, that's really clarifying things.
It is. And these other ones aren't quite as effective that are down below. They're mm-hmm. they're good, but the top ones are the big power words. They're the big guns.
And it's really about reiterating and saying, okay, let me see if I understand what you are saying to me. And, you know, communication is so important because your reality may be completely different from my reality. And so what you may have said to me, I took in a totally different way than what you were trying to relay to me. And so it's important that we have, if we're trying to get the same thing, that our reality about it is the same.
Well, and that's one of the, that's a very important thing, and I have that in my book also, and that's basically empathy.
Mm.
So if you say something to me, my mind is thinking about what you're saying, and then including add the last sentence of what you said. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, because that kind of sums it up. Usually from you to me, you're sort of summing your last thought. I need to hear that last thought. I need to put myself into that last thought to better understand you, mm-hmm. for us to have a better communication.
Mm-hmm.
So if we all learn to do a little more empathy and a little better listening, we could have a lot more significant and deeper relationships with other people. And again, that's why I said sometimes it's good for business. It actually closes more deals.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah.
So, you know, the closing thought that from your book that I want to leave is on page 52, Opening Our Minds. And this is just so wonderful because it's giving ourselves permission to not worry about being so perfect.
Right.
When we tell ourselves that some areas of our life are not perfect, at least not right now, we are giving ourselves permission to be fine.
Right.
And that's so important because, you know, we have those A personality people. I used to mm-hmm. be one of them where, oh my goodness, if I didn't dot every I and cross every T, I was just a failure. And it's so easy to get into that trap, but we have mm-hmm. to allow ourselves to say, you know what, maybe it's not perfect right now, but that's okay.
Right. Right. You know, someone passed around. I was in the middle of that type A part too in my life, mm-hmm. and I was at a shower of some kind, and everyone got beautiful little granite hearts as a gift, a party favor, and mine was messed up. the whole left side was not really granite; it was it had strains of I don't know what going through it, and I looked at it. I said, "This was for me. This was so meant for me." It's imperfectly perfect. I keep it. I actually have it. I have it right near me right now. Mm-hmm. I look at it to remind me that I don't want to be perfect. I want to be as good as I can be, but there's no such thing as perfect. And so I think I was meant to get that little
Absolutely.
Heart.
Yes. So now remind everyone of where they can find your book and
okay,
your website.
Well, yeah. One website is called subconsciouslyspeakingbook.com.
Okay.
And they can get it through PayPal. We're getting it on Amazon soon, but not yet. And then the other website's kbhypnotherapy.com.
Okay.
And they can get it there as well.
Perfect. I want to thank you, Karen. This has just been delightful for me.
Oh, same here. So nice to talk to you.
Indeed.
Wonderful.
So take care, and hopefully we can do this again.
I'd love that. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you. So there you have it, everyone. A wonderful episode, really understanding how the subconscious and the conscious can come together and work in harmony so that we can really, truly empower ourselves and create the life that we so deserve. I want to thank you. This has been Affirmations for Living. Of course, you know I am Reverend Edvige. You can find me on affirmationsforliving.net. Please follow me on Facebook, friend me. Also, I said earlier that I have a new phone app out for Android right now. It's going to be going live soon for iPhone. It's called Awakened. It's a free download. That way you can listen to the shows on the go. Till next time, be blessed. Take care. Bye-bye.